Hello and welcome back to the Impenetrable Fortress podcast. I'm Alan Jackaway, and sitting with me, as always, is James Bunnell. James!
Alan!
We are a lot of the way through football season.
Yeah, it's surprising.
And, there's been some weird stuff happened.
That is unsurprising.
Somehow there's a lot of 6-0 teams.
That is surprising.
Yeah, it's really surprising. It's like the first time there's ever been that many, I think.
Yeah, what are we at right now? 4 6-0 teams?
It might be five.
Maybe
you'd
five.
I think we would have looked it up, but it's a lot is the point, and it's more than ever, and it's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And the result, of course, is that there's also a lot of really bad teams.
Yeah.
Including maybe both of our teams.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, what can you do? That whole NFC East could be, hovering around or below 500 the whole year, I think.
Captain Kirk could totally be piloting the winning team
in the NFC.
I'm more and more excited about it every day.
All right.
That's crazy. Did you know that only two quarterbacks have completed more passes than Kirk Cousins this year?
I did not know that. Is that because he's attempted an enormous number?
He's attempted some ungodly number, but it's Philip Rivers and somebody else. I don't remember who the other one is, but yeah.
All right.
Found that strange and right. Exciting.
Well, that's your offensive stat of the week, but we're going to do defensive stats for the rest of this.
Let's roll.
James, it's week 8. And we still can do divisional teams that we haven't talked about.
Right.
I said week 9 would be the last one we were able to do, and we made it to week 8. If we can't do next week, then I think you win that bet, and if we can, I think I win that bet. This week, we are talking about the Bengals and the Steelers.
Yeah.
And I'm doing the Bengals, and I'm going first. I'm going to start that right now with our traditional haiku preview. Here we go. A balanced defense, plus Andy Dalton magic, can go 6-0. Okay, so
I would not have guessed that at the beginning of the season.
I would not have guessed that either. And I still, of the 6-0 teams, still, they may be the one I'm least confident in, although maybe the Broncos. Those two I'm both kind of not super confident in.
Yeah.
So I say a balanced defense about the Bengals. That was kind of my lead-in, basically the only defensive thing I said in the haiku. But that is, I mean balanced in terms of fantasy. Let me tell you why. The Bengals defense basically has exactly one starter at every position.
I see that.
And then
that's impressive.
Basically has no useful player beyond that. It's like nothing I've ever seen before. But, you know, Geno Atkins, 6th. Defensive tackle. None of these players have had their bye, so the real numbers are a little lower, but still, Geno Atkins is comfortably a starting defensive tackle, if your league requires it. Vincent Ray is kind of a borderline starting linebacker, but at least he's fairly reliable.
Right? I actually own him in our league, and he's been quite good, except when he's gotten hurt.
Yep. And that's true most years, I think.
Yeah.
You know, Adam Jones and Carlos Dunlap each come in at 12th among their position, and there's nothing to complain about there. I think those guys are reliable starters, good players, both of them. And then probably the weakest position of the ones that they have is probably Reggie Nelson, who's sitting at 36th for safeties, which isn't really a starter. But what's cool about this team is that after that, you can pretty much ignore everyone, right? I think the other week we recommended Michael Johnson on a... if you're desperate, needing a sack, looking for a sack situation at defensive end. And I think he's useful for that, but he's not someone I would want to start every week. And similar with their secondary options at other positions. When Vincent Ray is injured, which hopefully he won't be again, I think that you can do all right starting Ray Malaga. But I wouldn't want to start him any time other than when Vincent Ray is injured, basically. And even then, his numbers weren't exactly great. So, it's pretty straightforward. So, you know, they're very balanced in terms of fantasy players that you have available. But they're not really balanced as their actual real-life defense functions. Their pass defense is just a little bit above average. They're allowing about the 18th adjusted yards per attempt in the NFL. But their rush defense is really, really bad. Or not really, really bad, but they're third in yards per attempt. They're letting up nearly 5 yards per attempt, which is, I think it's fair to say, really, really bad. What's interesting, I don't know if that's a function of the players that they have. You know, again, we see them from a fantasy standpoint as having pretty balanced players, and yet teams have a lot more success running the ball against them on average, or at least compared to other teams, than they have passing the ball against them. And I don't really have a great sense for why that is. I think that they have strong pass rushers, and that's part of it, but I don't know exactly why that discrepancy exists. I think some of it is just that they get ahead, and once they get ahead, they let up longer runs, right? They're more willing to allow kind of that draw that goes a long way than they are other things. But it's kind of weirdly low stats for a team that is 6-0 and really playing very well, and whose defense isn't a total liability. You know, their defense has played, I think, on the aggregate, pretty decently. It's just that, for whatever reason, they aren't as reliable against the run, and usually I think of that as being a pretty dangerous thing. But if you look at the kind of overall stats, they come in right in the middle of the pack in defense, and then they're making it up with their offense. So that's it. But again, it's really easy for fantasy purposes. You just look at the top player they have from each position, and unless that your position you're looking for is safety, you're happy to play that player. Excellent. That's it.
Excellent. An excellent summary of the Bengals. Fortunately, as you pointed out, the Bengals are sort of in real life split between a decent pass defense and a pretty god-awful run defense.
Yep.
Thanks to the serendipitous nature of the universe, the Steelers, as I am about to reveal to you in the second of our weekly haikus, are a little bit the opposite. Solid foundation. The steel wall has shrunk a bit.
Oh.
Best to go over.
Okay, I like it.
And so, just like you were saying about the Bengals, the Steelers have actually a surprisingly good run defense this year. They are in Pro Football Reference's expected points values for run defenses. The Steelers have the highest. And
nice.
Yeah, they are tied with two other teams, allowing the fewest rushing touchdowns on the season of two. Those other teams are the Jets and the Bears, which is a weird thing. That's an aberration. Don't pay attention to that. Their
yeah.
pass defense is abysmal. They have allowed the fourth highest completion percentage to opposing quarterbacks. Teams have attempted like the seventh most passes against them. Their expected points are below the league average by a significant margin. It's just there. It's bad. It's really bad. Which is funny to me. You'd hear the pundits talking about how the Steelers have shifted away from their sort of linebacker factory producing defense,
yep.
and people were worried about that. And it's but really, what has changed? Nothing. They're still solid up front and just full of holes in the back. It's just a lot easier to go over that first the front line, just to go straight on over it. Now, for your fantasy implications, it's a little more dire. Than maybe that situation, have you believe. They've got, like, 3 people worth starting, probably, in your leagues. Lawrence Timmons,
yeah.
really good linebacker, definitely a starter. Mike Mitchell is on that cusp of starting at the safety position.
I would not be excited starting Mike Mitchell at safety.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, again, it's fine for a bye week, something like that, but 6 points per week, relatively spread out, which is good if you need 6 points per week, but not something that's really winning you a lot of games,
exactly.
I think. When I'm looking for kind of players that aren't going to be every week starters, I want one that has more volatility than that.
Exactly, which means you might want to start Antoine Blake.
I might want to start Antoine Blake, yeah.
He is highly volatile, but when he goes off, boy, does he go off. He's had games this season where he's had double-digit tackles, and then he's had games this season where he's had 2 tackles, which
yeah.
is kind of ridiculous. Impossible to tell when you should play him, but high variance players with high ceilings reward you in
yep,
fantasy
they can.
Sports.
They definitely can.
And so that's what I'd say makes him a starter in this league. Other than that, you probably shouldn't consider starting anybody
Cameron Hayward. I would start Cameron Hayward. Yeah. I think he's a solid defensive end option. But the rest of these, I agree. I'm not excited about Steven Tuitt, even when he is healthy.
Steven Tuitt has good peripheral stats. Except that he's been hurt for the last 2 weeks. Is a problem.
So but maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe I should start him.
Cameron Hayward each have 3 sacks on the season. Both of them put up reasonable number of tackles for defensive ends. I think that there's a secret, like, if you've got Steven Tuitt and you're just waiting for him to come back from injury, or if he's been dropped in your league because he has been injured for the last few games, just sneaky grab him if you've got a place on the bench for him, because there's a chance that both of these guys could explode. Because, like I said, they're both really good, and they're both in the solid part of that defense that performs well.
And, of course, if you have a defense that's easier to throw on, that means you get those sacks.
You get all those sacks.
Teams are going to try to throw on you.
Oh, yeah. All them sacks, right?
I think that's reasonable.
Yeah.
Cool.
Other than that, there's not much you'd want to do with the Steelers right now.
All right. Anything else?
Nope.
James, the time has come to talk about pickups. You got another set of bye weeks, large set of bye weeks this week.
It's true. This week on bye, we got Buffalo, Jacksonville, Philadelphia, and Washington.
And all of those teams have useful fantasy players. I think we've only talked about a couple of them, but yeah. Philadelphia and Washington, I think. But
we talked about Buffalo.
We talked about Buffalo early on. That's right. So there you go. And I think we like a lot of players on all those defenses. So you may be looking for pickups. Pickup number one, if someone missed it, we talked about this last week, remains Cameron Wake.
Oh, yeah. Man, 2 weeks of playing and he's already tied for second place in the league in sacks.
2 weeks of playing healthy. Two weeks of playing healthy. We are aware that he was playing before. He just wasn't really playing before.
Yeah.
James, I think it's time. It's that time of the year where we have to have tough discussions.
I just want you to look at what I wrote in my notes. Before this podcast.
So James has written down, in all caps, Brandon Merriweather, and then what I would describe as an all caps frowny face.
Yes, that is correct.
Brandon Merriweather had 14 points in our scoring each of the last 2 weeks. And he only has 2 weeks where he's been under 5 points. I think we have to come to terms with that. Until he gets ejected from the league, Brandon Merriweather is or injures himself. Until he either gets ejected from the league or injures himself, Brandon Merriweather is a worthwhile start. And I would be pretty happy to start him at New Orleans, where you expect there to be a decent number of plays making their way to the safety position.
Yeah. I'm glad.
It hurts.
I'm glad that you were the one that said the most of that, because I'm not sure I could have said all those words in that order.
Yeah, I know it's painful, but it just... I think we have to, you know... The numbers are there, and they've been there in years before. It's not like we haven't seen him do it. Usually gets suspended by now.
That's the aberration this season, is that somehow he's managed to avoid massive fines and suspensions.
Yeah, but I think you have to consider it. I really do.
I guess that's our
safety for the week. Mm-hmm. there's no getting around it.
It's a bitter pill, listeners, but it's probably worth swallowing at this point. Another person that maybe, I don't know, we kind of talked him down. We talked all of the Detroit linebackers down last week.
But we did.
Josh Bynes for this week. If you're, you know, we're hurting because you're missing your DeMeco Ryanses or your Tevin Smiths, like, he's a totally decent pickup. He's on the cusp of, like, where you would maybe your starting third linebacker type kind of guy. Yeah. But he's worth a pickup for this week. He is producing relatively consistently. He's only had one sub-5-point week.
Yeah, and you get a little bit of that stat we don't talk about that much anymore. The inside linebacker on a bad team going on with him, where teams are running at him at the end. So I think that's fine. You know, again, linebacker pickups are usually hard. People are usually on top of them because they get so many tackles. They tend to be the top of your league. So I think that's a reasonable one. It's not super... I don't think he's super high upside, but if you're just looking for kind of a solid contributor, I think that's reasonable. I think if you want a linebacker that's a little... that's also unlikely to be owned, but a little higher variance, I would be interested in Wesley Woodyard of the Titans. It's a player that I think has the talent and has flashed it in the past. His last 3 weeks are 7.5, 14, 7.5. So he has those kind of, you know, high games. In fact, you know, since the bye, he has, that's his last 3 weeks, right? Since the bye. He really only has 2 bad weeks to his name. And other than that, looks pretty startable to me. So I would consider Wesley Woodyard. Again, he's not as, I think with Josh Bynes, you're kind of locked in at a lower floor, but you get a higher ceiling, in my opinion, with Wesley Woodyard.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I have to say, I know that we have said in the past that defensive tackles that aren't Aaron Donald are not worth owning. But
Kawan Short, this is going.
Yeah. Kawan Short, man. Guy played, I know it was painful to watch, especially for you, but Guy looked good last week against him. And it's not the first week that he's looked good, right? Like, that whole Carolina front looks kind of awesome.
Yeah, I mean, this is fine. If you need a defensive tackle, this is fine. But I'm not rushing out to get Kawan Short, I guess, is the short answer. You know, his last 2 weeks are great. 11.5 points and then 23 points last week.
The 23 That's points crazy. Probably is not replicable.
Yeah,
that represents the high water mark. But the last 5 sacks in the last 2 games.
I know.
One against, you know, 2 of them against Russell Wilson, who, yeah, their offensive line is bad, but Russell Wilson is not an easy quarterback to sack.
True.
And Philadelphia's offensive line is...
Yeah, I mean, if I need a defensive tackle, if my defensive tackle's on bye, if my defensive tackle's not performing, I'm happy to grab Kawan Short, but those weeks that he had at the beginning of the year are going to come back, those less than 5-point weeks. And you expect that out of almost any defensive tackle, really.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, I'm not saying that he's bad. I'd be happy to own him, I think, in my defensive tackle slot, but it's not something that would be at the top of my list. It really takes a special talent at defensive tackle to get to the top of my list.
That's probably true. What if I told you that Pro Football Focus has him ranked even with Aaron Donald at this point in the season?
I would tell you I don't buy it.
That seems reasonable.
That's what would happen there. All right, I think we need to give a cornerback, just if the people need it.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, if you're looking for high variance, why not DJ Hayden? I know we just talked about the Raiders and we said that they're all bad, and they are all bad. But last week he got a lot of points.
Why can't he do it again? He got a lot of points. So, in fairness, I want to warn you, he got a lot of points last week against Philip Rivers, who we just pointed out earlier in the podcast has attempted more passes than anybody in the league.
Yeah, that's true.
And they're going up against the Jets, who, I'm not going to look this up, but I assume they've attempted maybe the fewest passes of any team in the league. But,
that's actually a pretty bad lineup. So let's give another one then that really looks into the matchup. Again, high variance.
Yeah.
Robert Alford of the Atlanta Falcons has, to his name, one 21-point week and a bunch of weeks that are either bad or kind of okay.
Yeah.
But he's playing Jameis Winston.
There you go.
So there you go. There's your two options
for
your high variance cornerback pickups for this week, I think.
I like that.
And that's it. That's all the positions. I think that's who we're going to recommend. So go out and get them. Hopefully they get the same kind of bump that Cameron Wake got after last week. So I think we're taking responsibility for that, right?
Yeah. No, that's the impenetrable fortress bump.
Thank you for listening to the Impenetrable Fortress podcast. Our theme and interstitial music is Dear Liza by Ned and the Dirt. You can get their album any number of places. Just look for it. You'll find it.
It's there.
James, we usually do a hit of the week.
Yeah, we do, don't we?
We do usually do a hit of the week. The Kawan Short stuff is really tempting.
I like that. I know it was painful.
It was painful for me as an Eagles fan, but he was really good
he
in that game.
He was tearing
Despite
it
that
up.
I just talked him down a little in the pickup section, that was some really serious...
Can I, real quick, I want to submit another offensive hit of the week.
Okay, sure, why not?
Can I do Mike Tolbert this week for that touchdown he scored
at the end of the first half?
He bounced through four guys. He took a massive hit. A good hit.
Yeah.
From, I want to say Carroll or Maxwell.
Yeah, I think it was Carroll, but I'm not 100% Carroll. Sure of that.
Good hit. Should have given anybody else enough time to come finish that tackle off, and then he just went through four other Eagles. Just straight on.
Yeah. I think
I'm impressed. I was impressed. Yeah. I have a submission for when you're commissioner.
Okay.
I want to talk to you about.
Go on.
Hockey season has started. Yeah. Right? They've implemented new overtime rules.
Yeah, I heard. I heard it's crazy.
You go straight to 3-on-3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard it's really crazy.
So, nobody likes professional football overtime rules, right? And it seems pretty clear that no one's listening to the massive crowds that are screaming to make it like college overtime, right?
Yep.
So, clearly what we have to do is give them another option for how to do overtime in the NFL. And let's say, just cut it to 7-on-7. Overtime, okay. Normal rules, but just go straight to 7-on-7.
I have a I have a previously stated position on this, which is that the game should just end in ties.
Yeah.
But we still need an overtime solution for the playoffs.
Right.
So I think I'm willing to consider it. We'll have to work out some of the details on what's legal in 7-on-7 and not legal.
That's a fair point.
But I assume it will work just like the excellent game NFL Street.
Yes, that was...
It'll probably be fine.
No, yeah, credit where credit's due. A lot of my inspiration for this this submission came from NFL Street.
All right, well, we will consider it when I'm in charge, which I think is the next election cycle. I think in 2016, with the presidents, you re-elect the commissioner, too. I'm pretty sure that's right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Pretty sure.
You want to vote for whatever candidate has Allen on the ballot.
Yeah, that's the key.
As NFL commissioner. That's the secret.
All right, with that, we will be gone another week. We will be back and still hopefully have two teams in a division we can do haiku previews of. I think it's going to be possible, but I refuse to check in advance because that would violate the contract we laid out when we made that bet.
That is true.
From Alan.
And James.
Stay low.